Good morning, everyone. Father, we bow down before you this morning, Lord, with just adoration and thanksgiving that you've enabled us to gather together once again and have blessed us with the availability of your word and also inviting us to closely be with you and to have fellowship with you and to commune with you and to listen to you and short to pray to you, the God of all things unbelievable. So, Lord, may we honor you and your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this week, as I was preparing for another lesson on don't murmur and don't complain, I kind of got, seemed to hear from the Lord, kind of enough of that. And it came to mind, how about just going to focus on him instead of on us? And so 1 John came to mind, and it's just a short epistle, as you know, only 100 verses. But it is so powerful. So I thought we'll just take a little time and just focus our eyes on him a bit and what he tells us in his word. So we're going to look at four verses this morning, and if you would read them with me, it's printed out in capital letters there on the first part of our notes, and this is where we will be this morning in our thoughts as we look to his word. So let's read together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. You know, I think we're reminded to pray the scriptures. And when we think of the scriptures, such as the verses we've just read, it's all about him, isn't it? And so I would, you know, the daily needs we have, the healings we have, and the various things are very important in one way. But I think sometimes in my prayer, I lose track and it's too much self-centeredness on things going around me, which really aren't all that, that's not where the focus should be. The focus should be on him and who he is and what he is. And so as we look at these verses today, they're just humbling because they are so just unbelievably awesome. And so we'll just walk through these verses rather quickly, and then we will pray. But verse 1, that which was from the beginning. This is an amazing statement here. And we see, obviously, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was God. So there we start with the beginning of life. But there is something before that. And here we have that which was from the beginning. And then we go on into Malachi, and it says, from everlasting you have been God. So God was before everything. He was before all the beginnings, and he is not the beginning. He was before the beginning. So our God is huge, is he not? And we look at Isaiah, and we see in Isaiah that he counts all the stars and calls them by name. And we estimate now that there are trillions of stars. If God can name trillions of stars, do you think he can remember your name? We see in another place where the span of his hands holds the universe. Now, the last report I was able to read was the universe is estimated now It used to be 4 billion light years across. That's when I was in school. And that was a long time ago. Now it's estimated, but every time we get a new telescope, it gets bigger, right? So now the latest estimate is 20 billion light years across the universe. So it says with the span of his hands, he holds 20 billion light years. That's the size of him. He's not a small God. And we think our problems are so big, and he is so far away, maybe, and he is so limited to what he can do, and I'm just sunk here. I've got this horrible, horrendous problem dealing with. Nobody else has ever had such a big problem, and woe is me. And our problem, the more we think that, the bigger it gets, and the smaller he gets. But when we start to think about him, the bigger he gets, and our problem disappears. It just disappears. So we read here, that which was from the beginning. And of course, we have all these beginnings. John 1 in his gospel says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And so we'll just kind of move on from that clause, because we got a lot of them here just in these verses. But he's the beginning, before the beginning, and he is before everlasting. So if you can figure that one out, you may be the first one in history that's been able to. And then the next clause is, which we have heard, which we have heard. Now, at the time this was written, the church was new. It was only about 50 years old, maybe something like that. Already the division had come into the church with false teaching, and the Gnosticism, Gnostic, gnosko means to know, that was prevalent, gaining, and they hear all these false teachers out there teaching this, but they're gaining a lot of crowds. And so we see the need to clarify this, because the Gnostics did not believe that Jesus was a real person. He was in spirit. He wasn't born. He didn't, he was a spirit. Well, he is spirit, but he's more than spirit. Jesus is fully man and fully God. And so here we see, we have heard him. Here is an apostle, maybe the last apostle living at this point, who'd actually heard Jesus speaking in the flesh when he was here on earth. But John heard him, and he saw him. It says, in which we have seen with our eyes. So we have a first-hand report here. This is obviously the Spirit writing. But at that time, John had said, we have seen with his eye, with our eyes. And of course, in his gospel, he writes in verse 14, and the first chapter, and the Word became flesh. That means it's something new. It wasn't that before. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Of course, that's our whole basis of our Christmas celebration, isn't it, in a way? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and what? We beheld. Now, here is something new. We beheld his glory. So this is revealed. He's revealed himself to man now as a man, holy and all God too. But God is revealing himself as one of us in our own language. So if you saw an ant crawling out in the sidewalk and you wanted to give a command to the ant, I don't think the ant would pay much attention to you. But if God made you an ant, then you could communicate with him, right? So this is what we see here. We have heard, and we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, we've steadfastly gazed upon him. It wasn't that we just saw a flash by and I really didn't see him. No, he was here on earth 3 years in the ministry. And here's a firsthand witness. We have looked upon him. 2 Peter 1:16 says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but what? We're eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, Peter will go on to say the very truth. The scripture is much more sure than the first-hand witness, because we can all be first-hand witnesses of the same thing. If we went around the room and told what we saw, we would have different reports. We would, somewhat anyway. But the Word of God doesn't have different... It doesn't change from one day to another. It is true, all true. It is truth itself. So we've looked upon it. And then we go on to the next clause. Our hands have handled. And in Luke 24, we read, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me," Jesus said to his disciples after the resurrection. Our hands have handled. So here's, of course, the proof of the resurrection here as well, right in this part here. And then concerning what? Concerning the word of life. He is the word of life. John 1:1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in the fourth verse, "In him was life." In him was life. And the life was what? The light of men. And then on into 14, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So this is quite a, just this first verse in the Epistle of John here, we have all of these different characteristics that we see, and we kind of refer to it as he's the word of life. So he is life. He is life. Moving on to verse 2, "The life was manifested," revealed. The life was revealed. "And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life." That life is what? Eternal life. We're talking about eternity with him. We're not talking about our short-term life here on earth of 100 years or so, which is nothing in terms of eternity, but we're talking about him as eternal, eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested or revealed to us. So back to the Gospel again, he read in verse 4 of chapter 1 of John, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And that was manifested, and we have seen it. We read also in Romans 16, 26, "Now made manifest," or now revealed, "and by the prophetic scriptures," listen to this, "by the prophetic scriptures was made known to" what? "All nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith." Isn't that amazing? "And bear witness and declare to you that eternal life." John 21, 24 says, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." So we see this life revealed to us. We have seen it, we bear witness to it, and we declare it to you. So these are all the things we have right here before us in this verse. And it doesn't end there. "With the Father, and was," we declare to you what? "With the Father, and was manifested to us." And we already read John 1 and 1, 2, but the 18th verse we read in John chapter 1, "No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has," what? "Declared him." And in John 16, 28, we read, "I came forth from the Father and have come again into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." So Jesus is making this strong declaration of the eternity, or John is making it of Jesus, the strong declaration of his eternity, his eternal nature, the eternity of Jesus Christ. The life of God manifested on the earth. This is what we celebrate in about a month from now in Christmas time. He came on the earth as a man, born in a manger. And then in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us." This is an amazing word here, this word fellowship. It's koinonia, as you know, and that word is too broad to get it into one English word, so it's translated different ways, oneness or in common or communion. "But we have heard and we declare to you the message," what? "That you," that us, "also may have fellowship with us." Now, this is not just fellowship with him, it's fellowship with one another, because we are his, right? And so we have that every Saturday morning here. We come and really have a togetherness with one another, fellowship with one another. And we read that here in this particular part. "Truly our fellowship," our koinonia, "is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." So we go up a level there. We don't only have fellowship with one another, We also have, through his word, fellowship with Jesus, right? And with the Father, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we've got this oneness, which was really never possible before Christ came, because Christ wasn't separate as a man then. He's always been God, and he always will be God. But he adds, God gives us out of his love and mercy, he gives us this extra dimension of having his Son come here as one of us. Therefore, he can be our eternal high priest. We can have only that. We can't have a high priest who's different from us and be understanding everything and making us understand him. So we've had this koinonia now, this fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Christ Jesus, through what we have seen and heard here. And then the last verse for today, and these things we write to you, why? This is one of the, most people can find four reasons in the scripture, the epistle that this was written. This is the first one. These things we write to you that, what? Your joy may be full. I don't think we can get too much of that, of understanding the joy that we should have because of him and because of what he's done for us. You know, I did my normally going through the news this morning, which takes about 5 seconds, right? I just scroll. I verge down the front page of Fox News or Newsweek or Newsmax, whatever it is, and it's all the same filth, right? And you look at that and you go, oh, the shutdown and the flights are being canceled. And now even President Trump wanted to have food allotted. And the judges said, no, you can't do that. And I mean, it's just, what's going on, you know? And we get this Islamic crazy mayor being elected by a large margin in New York. And we say, you know, it's over. This country's had it. Well, maybe it is, but that's not the reason. It's God. God isn't. He's on the throne. He always will be on the throne. And what's he have for us today? And here he has this opportunity for us to gather together and to fellowship with him and to come to him in prayer. And so we see then the purpose then is one of them. There's another number of them. I just look at four great purposes. There's the fellowship, which we mentioned a little bit in verse 3. There's the joy, which we're mentioning here in verse 4. And next week, we'll get into cleansing, which is in verse 7. And lastly, forgiveness, which is verse 9. So this is just the first chapter of John's epistle here. All of these things that are in these 9 verses. And we looked at the first 4 today. So check your joy meter now. And maybe when we get through the epistle of 1 John, you can check it again and see if that joy meter is the same pegged out where it is now, or is it maybe a little higher or a little fuller? But this is his precious word. So may we just be keeping these things in mind. And I don't know how it's so broad. I don't know how you can gather all of that, but you have the word in your hand. And if you'll spend some time in it every day, it will become more and more in us, right? So, Father, we just stand in awe of who you are, and we can't even describe it. It's too great because you're infinite and we're finite. And yet we're created in your image and really unlimited potential in each one of us, it seems to me. And so, Lord, how much of that potential are we holding back through our own self-centeredness and all of those kinds of things? Lord, help us to be more aware of you than ever before, and humbly coming before you, Lord, and just so unworthy, Lord. We don't even have worthiness to lift our eyes to look to you or anything else, but yet you want us to see you. You want us to be in contact. You created us to have fellowship with us. So, Lord, help us in this as we have these moments this morning to just pour out our hearts to you and just to pray as you would lead us, Holy Spirit. And so we ask for your help in that leading, as we do not know how to pray as we ought. But lead us in this time of prayer in Jesus' name. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Just wanted to close with this praise song here. We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. So let's sing this song here, if we may.
We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory.
Father, we do thank you for meeting us here this morning. And Lord, help us to be just focused on you this whole day. And may you hear our praises of joy as well. And thank you for hearing our requests. And we do bless your name today and your word. Thank you for each one here. And would you bless them and keep them as we go our separate ways. And may your light shine forth through each one of us to draw others to you. As they see you in us, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.